Today on Real Radio.
The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is to come. So whoever the one who is, who was, who is to come is, whoever the Almighty is, whoever the first and the last is, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord, whoever he is, there's only one. You got that? There will not be one after him. He's it. Says the Bible.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We've been in chapter 22, the final chapter of the final book of Scripture. Verses 12 through 17 contain a passage that invites the reader to come to Christ and receive him. Well, the New Testament contains a sad fact that the true believer must accept. The vast majority of humanity will not see the kingdom of heaven. And one of the more common objections to receiving the Messiah is that Jesus is fully God as well as man. People have a hard time accepting that. Objection or not, the invitation still stands. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Now Will You Come Please?
You and I have been given opportunity for this day that will never be afforded to us again. And this day in eternity will be a day, so to speak, of reckoning. The Lord has given me opportunities today to bring him glory. Will Jack do that? When you're saying you gave to him, right now I'm giving to him and preaching and teaching. It's amazing. The rewards that he comes, when he brings, yes, it's salvation. Yes, it's his ultimate sanctification of our lives completely. But keep this in mind and we'll press on. The book of Romans tells us that we are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ, not of works. Why? Because before God, he knows your heart, he knows mine, and he declares us righteous. That's between you and him and you. Only you know it. I can't know that. You can't know it for me. I can't know it for you. But the book of James, on the other side, says you're justified or you're declared righteous by your works. Well, really, is it contradicting? Not at all. Romans is our standing before God. The book of James is our standing before one another. How do you know if I'm a Christian? You have to watch my life. Does my life bring glory and honor to God? If your life brings glory and honor to the Lord, Jesus says, I'm bringing my reward with me. And you're going to get it. Right on the cheek, right on the lips, right on the forehead, right as a hug. I'm going to bless you. Jesus is saying, you have never sacrificed anything that I'm not going to bless you back big time. Think of our junior hires that just got back from Germany. Their lives will never be the same. How do I know for sure? Jesus said in Luke's gospel, no one leaves country, father, or mother for the sake of the gospel that shall not be rewarded doublefold in this life and in the life to come. You can hang your hat on that. He'll do it. Third point, and here's where we'll camp out for most of the morning. Third point. Will you now please come as the request, as the plea? Why? Look it, because Jesus Christ is righteousness. Jesus Christ is the righteousness. Jesus Christ is the righteousness. When he says this, and you're going to need to get out your little green paper now. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Three divine titles. These are God's titles and no one else's. Now look, before we dive into this wonderful, wonderful pursuit right now, you're going to be given... By the time this message is all over, you're going to be given about 40 scriptures. So get ready. I took the time to print them out for you so you didn't have to write them down. Plus, this green piece of paper, I want you to take and nail it or glue it or whatever, laminate it and keep it near to the front door of your house. Not outside, but on the inside. Why? Because when you hear a knock at the door, it will absolutely be what you need, just like William Centenar needed the day Walter Martin walked this into his face one day. Now watch this. When this nation of ours was being blessed, our government was concerned that we would get our eyes off of God and onto our material blessings. Did you know that? In fact, if you really want a shocker, prior to 1954, part of the United States operating budget for our government went to producing Bibles and distributing them worldwide. Go freak out over that, atheist. Our nation printed on the money "In God We Trust," because in our prosperity, our government was concerned that we might get our eyes off of God. God's supposed to be the focus. My friend, listen. If this is the book of Revelation, answer me out loud if you know. If this is the book of Revelation, who is it revealing? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Then people who knock at your door, they have an agenda that can be summed up, all of them together, every one of them, from the people who knock on your door to the people who walk around airports with flowers to sell. They have one thing in common: to dismiss or to downgrade the deity of Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? Jesus is not really who you say he is. Jesus is not really what you think the Bible says is saying. Jesus cannot be that. They're all in the same pot. They've got all their different variances. But when it all comes down together, some try to make him a god among others, some try to make him an angel among others, some try to make him an enlightened one among others. Are you with me, everybody? Okay, if this has offended you, you're going to be really flipping out here in a minute. The issue's Jesus Christ. That's why the back of the Bible is with the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why? Because God anticipated that Christ, our Savior, Christ the Lord, the Messiah, would be under attack. Why? Because if you remove Christ out of the message, if you take away his deity, then mankind is lost, no matter how religious you become, no matter how many doors you knock on. So are you ready? Jesus is the issue. He says, Jesus, the letters are written in red. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now listen, this is true in the King James Version Bible. It's true in the New King James Version Bible. And it's true in most of the NIV Version Bibles. It's true in most Bibles. However, it is not true in all Bibles. What is? Verse 13. For some modern day publishers have taken the path of the modern day revisionist and have removed parts of this verse right out of your Bible. Now look, no one's going to be in trouble, but do you have a Bible this morning? I know I own a few of them that don't, they do not have verse 13 in it. They don't have it. They've removed it. And not only that, 608 references from Old and New Testament about Jesus Christ and his deity removed. Do you kind of get the idea that even some biblical publishers are trying to diminish from the deity of Christ? Why don't we just let the Bible speak for itself? Amen? All right, here we go. Open up your little paper there. I should say it's a big paper, for the truth that's on it is wonderful. Isaiah 48:12, Old Testament, no problem there. Every Christian, every Jew, every Muslim, every cultist could read it. Isaiah 48:12 is there, and it says this: "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I am also the last." You got to ask yourself, who's the first and the last? Who is he who's the first? Who is he who is the last? Well, the Bible answers itself. It is he who is the Lord, and he's calling Israel to listen to him. He's the first and the last. People, listen. Either you are monotheistic, that is, you believe in one God, or you believe in a bunch of gods, a polytheist. One or the other. Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, even for that matter, Islam, is monotheistic. We believe in one God. We don't believe in other gods. So whoever the first and the last is, that gets my attention. Because you can't have multiple first and last. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there's no God. Something they don't understand this is pretty clear. Whoever this is, we're looking out of the Old Testament, it's the Lord. The first and the last. Now it says here in Isaiah 44:6, it is the Lord of hosts. That is the Lord of armies, the Lord of war. I'm the Lord of righteousness. I fight for righteousness. I'm the Lord. There's nobody but me. Isaiah 41:4, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and I am with the last. I am he. Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he, and besides me there is no God form, nor shall there be after me. I am he. That's the name of God. I am he. It means eternal, self-existing one. Never having a beginning, never having an ending, and having no source of external sustenance. He's it. Revelation 1:8. We now jump to the New Testament. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. Oh, the Lord. The Lord said he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I thought Jesus said that a moment ago in verse 13. Who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. There's only one God, my friend. Only one God. Revelation 4:8 says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. So whoever the one who is, who was, who is to come is, whoever the Almighty is, whoever the first and the last is, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord, whoever he is, there's only one. You got that? There will not be one after him. He's it, says the Bible. Revelation 1:11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write and send it to the seven churches. Who was, by the way, do you guys remember who was speaking back then in Revelation 1? It was Jesus. Uh-oh. Well, now we've got Jesus acting like God. Now we've got Jesus guilty of impersonating God. Remember this, there's one God. Revelation 21:6, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Here's our text before us this morning, Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 1:17 and Revelation 1:18. This is fun. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me and he said, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. Who is that? It's Jesus. It's the Lord. But look, Revelation 1:18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Wait a minute. The first and the last, who is the eternal one, never having a beginning and an end? Yep. He went to the cross and he died and rose again from the dead. What? See, this causes a cult at your door. Their eyes begin to shake and roll back in their head. I had this happen at my door, at my front door. They left. They came back with five other guys. And I said, all right, get your Bibles open. By the way, their little cult Bible, you can do this in their cult Bible. Open up your cult Bible. Here we go. And at the end of it, the grand poobah said, well, we know what you're trying to say, but we don't believe it. I said, That's what I tried to tell you at the start. You don't believe it. It says it right here. And you even know it says it. And you're saying, well, we know what you're trying to say, that it says. But we don't believe it. I know that. That makes the big difference. My Lord, my Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the first and the last, my Savior, my Redeemer, my I Am, he died. Mine rose again from the dead. Mine lives forevermore. That's my I Am. That's my beginning and the end. That's my first and the last. Is that true for you? Revelation 2:8, just in case there's no confusion. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Yeah, that's pretty clear. 1 John 4:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and that God has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, that we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without debate or without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Wow. God was manifested in the flesh. Where, oh, where did you ever hear that God would reveal himself in the flesh to mankind? Answer, the Bible. Here's my, you know this is my favorite verse, Titus 2:13. One of the most wonderful declarations of the deity of Christ cannot even be debated. It's shunned, ran away from, and hidden. But you cannot refuse it. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am in the Greek, ego eimi, I am the eternal one. Watch this. The word means I'm eternal, never had a beginning, will never have an ending. I have always been, always shall be, and I'm the one that was in the burning bush speaking to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. I'm the one. And you ought to read John chapter 8, 9, and 10, because the Pharisees freaked out when they heard that. In fact, look at the next couple of verses, John 8, 24. Therefore, he said unto them, you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He said that to the religious Pharisees. Look at John 10, 32, just in case you don't think they understood what he was saying. Jesus answered and said to them, for many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these are you going to stone me for? And the Jews answered and said to them, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, declare yourself to be God. Isn't that amazing? They knew what he was saying. A lot of people don't even know what he's saying, but they knew back then. Titus 2:10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. Now the Lord God, now God's our Savior. I thought Jesus was our Savior. He is. Are you guys okay? Yep. So quiet. Jude 1, 24 and 25. Jude 1, 24 and 25. Now unto him is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to God our, what? Savior, who alone is wise. 1 Timothy 4:10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. Oh, really? Who's that? Who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. I thought Jesus was our Savior. He is. Back to the Old Testament here, Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I will not give to another. So this is not a Jesus trying to be a wannabe God here. God does not share his glory with anybody. Hosea 13:4. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior but me. Isaiah 45:21. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from the ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. Isaiah 43:11. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I love this next verse. Hang on to your seats. Before I say it, you know, in English, we say Jehovah. Did you know there's no such word? It's printed in English, and Americans say the word Jehovah, the name of God. That's not, you can't even say that technically. Did you know that? There is no, it's Jehovah. You're trying to speak Hebrew when you don't even know Hebrew. Because there is no Jah in Hebrew. There is no J sound. It's Yah. Yahovah. Yahweh, right? Not Jehovah, not Yahweh. Yahweh, man. What Yahweh you going? No, it's Yahweh. Yah is God's name. My dear Muslim friends, you know, they don't know what their God's name is. They'll tell you, we don't know. He can't be known. We don't know. We call him Allah, which is Arabic for God, because we don't know his name. He can't be known. That's not what the Bible says. The God of the Bible is known and knowable. And he even gives us his name. Look at Psalm 68, verse 4. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. So Yah to rejoice. Always. Proverbs 30, verse 4. You've heard this 1,000 times before. It's a great verse. This is for our Jewish friends. And if they're wearing a little yarmulke on the back of their head, when they read this verse, because I had this happen in Israel, it almost begins to float and spin because they're like, oy vey. I've never seen this before. Listen, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the winds in his fist and who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established the ends of the earth? What is his name? And every good Jew who's read Psalm 68 would go, yeah! But that verse doesn't end there. What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you can tell? Did you hear that? What's his name? Yah. What's his son's name? Jesus. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, yes, it is. A passage of scripture that is either difficult or marvelous, depending on where you stand. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study of Revelation chapter 22 and verses 12 through 17, a passage that speaks of the deity of Christ and extends an invitation to receive him. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more in this study. Now, since we're coming to the end of this series, we've been extending special offers related to it. There's the MP3 CD that contains all 72 studies, as well as the letters to the seven churches, taken from chapters 2 and 3. Well, there's one last offer we'd like to make that comes out of this series in Revelation. It's called Identifying the Road to Babylon. Identifying the Road to Babylon has been in great demand. Evidently, Real Radio listeners are saying, finally, someone has the courage enough to come out and identify the new Babylon. Identifying the Road to Babylon is a 4-CD set wherein Pastor Jack warns about worshiping the Queen of Heaven, praying to patron saints and their correlation to pagan gods, the one global religion, and so on. This 4-CD set is yours for a gift to Real Radio of $20 or more. Now, you can order Identifying the Road to Babylon in one of three ways: call, click, or write. Contact us by telephone at 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. You can visit us at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, any details you may have missed are found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.